You know who's ready for their hot girl summer? GDP. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. By all accounts, we are headed towards what looks to be a red-hot economic summer. Annualized GDP growth in the first quarter was 6.4%. Some economists expect growth in the second quarter to be 10% annualized. One of those economists is Dr. David Kelly, chief strategist at JP Morgan Funds. He also expects 800,000 jobs to have been created in May. We'll get that in the jobs report Friday. Dr. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, one of the hallmarks of this pandemic has been its unevenness. You know, we've got some sectors struggling, dentists down 16%, other sectors doing great, jewelry sales up 28%. Do you think that those differences are going to persist?
What I think you'll see is that some of the service sector areas that were really hurt very badly by the pandemic, they will recover over the summers. But I think there's so much money in the hands of consumers now. So much money has been made in Wall Street. There's so much money from government aid to lower and middle income households that I think you will still see a lot of spending on sort of basics, on food, on games, on televisions, those sort of things which have done very well through the pandemic. I think they're still going to be strong, and really it amounts to a lot of spending in the economy.
Usually with a heating economy, we get a little bit of inflation, we get higher interest rates. Do you think we're going to get those? I mean, we're already getting inflation, obviously.
I think you will see higher inflation. And I think there's no harm in that to some extent. I mean, it's just a sign of an economy fixing itself very fast here. But it does mean higher interest rates, and interest rates remain extraordinarily low.
Dr. David Kelly is Chief Global Strategist with JP Morgan Funds. Good to talk to you.
Anytime.
Reaction among Chinese people to their government's loosening of rules on how many children couples can have has been tepid at best. The country's faced with a shrinking workforce and an ever-expanding population of retirees, so its solution for now has been to allow couples to have three children, up from two. Our China correspondent, Jennifer Pak, joins us. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Sabri.
Why has the reception to this change in policy been lukewarm?
Well, largely it's about property. You know, to get your child into a decent school, or if you have a son who wants to get married in China, you need property. And housing these days requires the bank of mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. Secondly, the work of raising a child, like in many countries, falls disproportionately on women. And women in China have complained of being penalized at workplaces for being a mother.
You know, the government has tried to encourage people to have more children before, back when it expanded the one-child policy to a two-child policy 5 years ago. That didn't particularly work. Is the government trying something different now?
Well, the government says it's trying to approach this more holistically, like, say, reduce the cost of weddings and ease the relentless competition in education.
And still, though, I mean, a lot of families just don't want to have more children.
Well, no, because in China, this is still a country of 1.4 billion people. There are limited resources. There's a lot of competition for everything. And then there are the emotional scars. You know, it wasn't that long ago that women were heavily fined or forced to get abortions for exceeding the birth limit. So a poll from the state-run news agency Xinhua asked readers if they are ready for the three-child policy. And you know what? A majority of respondents said they would never consider it. That poll was later removed.
Marketplace's Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sabri.
Credit card balances have been falling throughout the pandemic. People haven't been spending as much, and a lot of people have been paying off their balances. But now that the economy is reopening, credit card companies are likely to try to push those balances right back up again. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
Credit card companies earn revenue from the interest they charge if users carry a credit card balance, and also from fees for things like late payments. David Yermak is a finance professor at NYU.
For the bank, the combination of that interest income and the fee income can be very important if credit cards are a big part of their loan portfolio.
This year, credit card companies have been stepping up their marketing campaigns.
Both in sort of digital marketing and also in direct marketing, we're seeing sort of offers for credit back to pre-pandemic levels.
Andrew Davidson follows credit cards at Compare Media. Since people have been good about paying off their balances, he says consumers' credit scores have improved. So card companies are sweetening their offers with incentives like better interest rates.
Better rewards, more attractive APRs, better terms for financing.
As a result, Davidson says demand for credit cards is likely to rise too, especially if consumer spending continues to go up. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
The labor shortage so many companies have complained about may extend to your local pool. Many swimming pools around the country won't open this summer, or they'll have reduced hours because of a shortage of lifeguards. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
AAA Pool Services in Virginia Beach manages about 50 swimming pools. And, says Vice President Jim Durkee, that takes a lot of lifeguards.
Normally, we have anywhere from 200 to 250 on staff. Right now, we're sitting at about 75.
So he's rotating people, keeping just a third of the pools open at once, a week at a time, and giving clients credits or refunds for the week's pools are closed. Durkee says there are many reasons for the shortage. One?
A lot of the kids and lifeguards that we've employed in the past, you know, they've basically had the last year of their life ripped away from them. And a lot of them say, hey, I want to have a normal summer before I go back to school in the fall.
There's also a backlog in the processing of temporary J-1 work visas that often brought in summer workers from abroad to fill jobs. Sabina Hickman runs the Pool and Hot Tub Alliance, an industry group. She says COVID travel restrictions limited who could enter the country, and
embassies were shut down. People weren't in the office processing the visas. So I think that's more of the leading factor.
Plus, a lot of lifeguard training was put on hold during the pandemic, says Wyatt Werneth of the American Lifeguard Association.
We're starting some of the trainings now, but we're also seeing not as many people showing up for the tryouts as normal.
Another reason for the shortage? A lot of people just can't swim very well. Jim Tarantino is director of recreation for Milwaukee County Parks, which is only opening 4 of its 12 pools this summer because of lifeguard staffing.
We're at a point where we might be able to get 20 or 30 people into a training class that want to work as a lifeguard, and only 2 or 3 of them can pass our swim test.
To him, the shortage is a safety issue. He can close pools, but that doesn't help on public beaches, like on the shores of Lake Michigan. Tarantino says there are riptides, and some people drowned last year at unguarded beaches.
Unfortunately, in Milwaukee, our swim ability does fall along racial lines. And unfortunately, our deaths and drownings do also fall along racial lines, which inequitably impact Black and brown communities.
He says there needs to be more emphasis on swimming education at a young age to feed the pipeline for lifeguards later on. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Our producers are Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.